The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall. No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn.
But hurry, these offers won't last forever.
Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.
Menards has what you need to beat the heat. From bottled water to air conditioners and fans, we have everything in stock to keep you from overheating. Patio umbrellas are simple but effective ways to cool down while outside. We also carry a wide assortment of sprinklers, pools, popsicles, and more to help keep the kids cool. Stock up and stay cool with help from Menards.
Save big money at Menards.
Well, did you see what's happening to the U.S. dollar? Well, while everyone was out celebrating 4th of July, the Congressional Budget Office back in Washington, D.C. was busy preparing their new numbers, their new predictions on what is going to happen with the U.S. dollar, how much in interest payments we will need to pay as a country on the amount of money that we're currently in debt, over $32 or $33 trillion in debt. So all of that debt comes with some pretty heavy interest payments. And it turns out, according to the CBO, I love how they released this report when no one's paying attention because everyone was enjoying 4th of July. The CBO numbers, the Congressional Budget Office numbers, show that already this year, we've spent $652 billion just on the interest on our debt. That means that by the end of the year, the projections from the CBO push it over $1 trillion just for the interest payments. Now, when you look at the amount of outlays from the U.S. government, how much we're spending from on all of our services, we're talking Social Security, defense spending, all of those things. Now our interest payments on our debt exceeds all of that. And I love that this was buried on page 8 of the CBO report. By the way, page 1 of the new Congressional Budget Office report is even, I mean, it's equally astounding, but it shows that we increased our amount of spending in the United States by 15% from this year over last year. And the amount of revenue that we brought in this year over last year is down 9%. Those two things are not good. We're spending 15% more, hundreds of billions of dollars more, and we brought in less. And the value of the U.S. dollar is being crushed. And the only way to continue to make these payments in a reasonable clip somehow is to devalue the U.S. currency. So inflation is the way to keep these interest payments within some sort of a manageable degree that the Fed can make, but or the U.S. Treasury can make. But I'm telling you, they're not going to be able to make them. So we are sitting on the verge of collapse here. And this is literally where we are right now in the United States, $32 to $33 trillion in debt. And the interest payments on that debt is expected to hit $1 trillion. And by the way, where do we get this money that we're borrowing? We get it from China. Yeah, we borrow this money from China and also big international banks like JP Morgan Chase, which gets huge money from us on a regular basis, huge bailout money from us. And Bank of America, Wells Fargo, big international banks. So we are indebted to these big multinational international banks as well as China. And this is where we sit in the United States right now. So if you've got your money tied to U.S. currency, it's backed. If you've got your money tied to the U.S. dollar, you are in some, deep trouble. We need to really make sure that we are not putting this money in U.S. dollars anymore, guys. Making sure that you're buying hard assets. All right, so it is our Q&A episode day, and we've got three great questions from our audience. If you would love to ask us some questions here, please go to our website, go to morrisinvest.com, and click on the microphone icon on the right-hand side of your screen, and you can leave us a voice message there. Let us know what you'd like to ask us, and we will try to answer it here on the show. All right. Our first question comes to us from Eric. Eric.
Good morning, Clayton. My name's Eric Clanton from Portland, Oregon. I have a quick question about the primary home that my wife and I are living in. It's worth approximately $450,000, and we were considering taking a first position HELOC to pay down the $140,000 we still owe on it and use a portion of the equity to buy a new home. And with the home that we're living in now, we were thinking of renting that out to my son and daughter-in-law with a one-year lease agreement for about $1,900 a month. Does this sound like it could be a good decision, or should we just sell our primary home and put down a portion on our new home?
Thanks, Eric, for the great question. That's a prickly one. That's a prickly one because, again, I'm not a financial advisor. I can't tell you what to do with your family. And but I will tell you that I'm just going to be honest here. It always gets a little prickly when you start like setting up lease agreements with family members. Okay, because all I say is if the numbers make sense and if it looks like it makes sense on paper, like the investment is a great investment, and you think that renting it out would make sense, absolutely go for it. If you feel like the numbers make sense, if your internal rate of return, if your rate of return is going to be good on this property. But it may make more sense because you've got a real diamond here of a property. It looks like it's mostly paid off. You could sell it and make a really nice handsome profit if that's what you ultimately want to do. But if you're just going to keep the house because your son wants to live in it, you have to really ask yourself if that makes sense. You know, from a business perspective, you love your son, of course, you love your family, but does it make sense? Or would it make more sense for him to find something else to rent and not have to be tied to a lease agreement with you? So those are, you know, those are things that I think you should really take into consideration here. You know, try to remove the emotion from this situation. And then, and really ask yourself, what if you were renting it to another, a random person? It's not your son. And imagine after 1 year, your son moves out, who's going to move into that property? Will you be able to rent it for $1,900 or more? Maybe it's more and you're just giving him a break and you're giving him a concession because he's your son. And would it rent for a higher amount? And do the numbers, does the ROI make sense? Again, in my career, in my years of investing, I've talked to many, many investors who've worked with our team. And one of the questions I'd always ask them is, because they would hold on to a property they had years ago. And they bought it, was their first property they bought when they were married, and they've held on to it, even though they moved away, they had a family, they grew, they've got kids now, so they don't live in that place anymore. They held on to it for the emotional value, but the numbers really didn't make sense, right? The house is actually worth more if they would have just sold it. The rent is not very good, and the taxes they're paying is very high. So actually, they're kind of upside down, but they held on to it for emotional reasons. And they'd ask me, well, what would you do if this was your house? I'd say, I'd sell it immediately. I'd call a realtor because the market is hot. I'm going to sell it, make a great profit, and I'll roll that property into another investment. I'll take those profits and roll it into another investment. And because you lived in this property for so many years, you know, you're going to not get hit with the capital gains taxes on this in the way that you would that if you just bought it for like a year, you held it for a short time, right? You're going to get hit with those capital gains taxes on it. So what I would do personally is I would look to make sure that the numbers make sense, removing the emotion from the scenario, making sure that I'm not, you know, take the sun equation out of it and just look at it from a numbers perspective. You know, how much can you get on the market for renting this property? And does it make more sense for you to take that profit and roll it into three investment properties? Take the profits and, you know, buy the new home that you want. And then you've got leftover $200,000 or $150,000 in cash. You know, roll that into down payments on three investment properties. I always think of the properties that we do, you know, at Morris Invest. And if you go to our website, you can book a call with our team. But most of those are going to be between $50,000 and $60,000 down payments. And then with financing on the rest, and these are new construction properties. So that's where my brain always thinks about it. I'm like, if I've got $150,000 to $200,000 in cash, well, why wouldn't I buy three rental properties with that? and finance the rest and bring in that cash flow and increase my net worth based on that. So I just would really make sure the numbers make sense and really just try to remove the emotion from it, Eric, and really see if it makes sense for you. I love, to answer your question, I love a first lien HELOC, right? And using that to pay down your primary mortgage, that's great. But if you're doing it just, and your son is going to move into the property, why bother with the HELOC at the moment? I would take the HELOC and use it to invest in other properties and buy other things and let your son pay down the rest of that balance of that mortgage, just like any tenant would in a property that I would rent out, right? Because I'm building equity based on the fact that the tenant is renting it out from me. So I'm building equity and I'm allowing the tenant to pay it down. So I know it's the tenant in this situation is your family member, but nevertheless, why go further into debt on this property when you can use, you know, you can use it in other ways? So I just would think differently about it, or just try not to think emotionally about it. And just make sure it makes the most sense for your son and for you. And in the long run, it's not just a 1 year investment, because you're going to blink and that 1 year will be over, right? So what does it look like 3 years from now? That's kind of where I would position things. But again, I love a first lien HELOC, but I would like to use that to invest in other things, to be able to buy additional properties. Remember, you can't eat equity. So if you move out of that property, now you've got equity in their property. How can you leverage that equity to buy additional rental properties? So, because a primary mortgage, living in a primary house is not an investment, right? It's not a performing asset. It's an asset, but it's not a performing asset. So just remember that. So thank you, Eric. Next one is Roderick, I believe.
Hello, my name is Roderick from Milton, Ontario. And I was wondering if there's a way that I can use my physical gold and silver that I've accumulated over the years to leverage it to purchase a property without actually getting rid of it and without actually trading it for fiat money again in order to purchase a property. Thank you very much. I'd appreciate your response.
Thanks, Roderick. Well, I would definitely talk to the companies that are holding your gold. If you've got different, you know, where it depends on where you are based in jurisdictionally, to use this. But of course, a lot of investors will use their hard assets without selling it. And you'll be able to create loans against it. I know different gold companies that we work with and talk about will allow you to take out loans against your gold positions and give you that opportunity. So you don't have to sell the physical gold, right? I mean, the old story is that really smart investors aren't selling their Bitcoin. They're not selling their gold. They're not selling their homes, their assets. They're borrowing against them. Or borrowing against their businesses, but they're not selling the asset, in which case you get hit with massive profit capital gains taxes. So I would definitely talk to your different, the folks that are holding your gold. I don't know if you've acquired it and you're holding it for yourself in a store, you know, in your own vault, or you've got a company that you're working with. But again, I mentioned our friends at Lear Capital, give them a call. I gave you the 800 number, earlier here. I'll give it to you again if you want to call our friends at Lear Capital. It's 1-800-450-1008. And they do gold and silver, of course, for us. That's one of our big, where Natalie and I do a lot of our gold and silver, and they're amazing. Call them. Just get on the phone with them, a free phone call, and ask them how you can borrow against your gold and get set up that way. So that's what I would do. Personally, is find a way that I could, you know, get loans against my hard assets without selling the hard assets itself, especially if gold and silver are projected to see record numbers. I mean, Bank of America out with projections on gold of like $2,500 an ounce, and it's right now at about $1,900. So, you know, again, we could see huge explosion in profits and value for gold as we go forward. Thank you for that. Our next question comes to us, Julie, I think.
Hey, Clayton. I saw that somebody had asked the same question just recently, but I couldn't find where the answer is or the video for it or the audio. Since there's a looming recession that we're actually already in, is now a bad time to buy real estate? I have a lot of money that's been sitting in cash doing absolutely nothing, but I don't want to buy when the market is still hot in a lot of places, knowing that it's going to drop and the potential for it being underwater is huge. So that is my question. Thanks, Clayton.
Thank you. Well, again, Julie, I can't tell you what to do with your money and where to do it and how, you know, the sentiment. No one can really predict what's going to happen in the market. No one can time the market. But to me, the answer is always in real estate is always time in the market. So again, no one can time the market. Not even AI can time the market. Not even the best of people can time the market, right? But it's important to remember that it's time in the market that is the most important. So if I was sitting on a lot of cash, which is exactly what Natalie and I were just recently discussing and doing, is moving it into different pieces of real estate right now. Because I don't want to be in cash. I don't want to be in US dollars. Whatever I can do to be avoiding US dollars is where I want to be. And to me, owning hard assets, hard real estate assets in the best, most landlord-friendly rental markets in the country has always been great for me, has always been great for me. Now, when you talk about hot markets, I'm just curious where the hot markets are right now, because we literally had a report last week that said real estate has just hit bottom, right? So now, if you're in these hot bubble markets like Boise, Idaho and Las Vegas and those types of places, right, those areas, of course, if they've hit bottom, they've been down, you know, 15% in value, 17% in value. Some of these are more retail markets where I would never invest in, okay? Then these are areas that I would want to avoid. I don't invest in those areas. But areas where I do invest, we haven't seen crazy swings of prices because they're boring, quite honestly. They're boring rental markets. And where I invest in Texas and other places, they're not flashy. They're not Miami. They're not San Francisco. They are salt of the earth, multiple job markets, healthcare industry, automobile industry, oil industry, low crime, expanding population, low taxes, great school districts. I invest in those areas. So those haven't been like hot markets. Prices have dropped a little bit, but they've moderated. So to me, that's where I invest. So Julie, if you want to, like I said, you know, book a call with our team, we can talk you through that and kind of point you in the right direction and give you a sense of what we see in the market and where we're seeing some of these different numbers right now. But we're, you know, as interest rates begin to drop, we're going to see the floodgates open on all these millennials that couldn't get mortgages and who sat back and waited. You're going to see an explosion of demand for more property. Right now, we have an absolute huge, massive demand for real estate in the United States. Okay, we need over 5 to 6 million properties to be built, and we don't have them. So there's an unbelievable pent-up demand for real estate. Again, I can't tell you what to do. I'm just saying I think it's incredibly important to own hard assets right now. Real estate, gold, and silver, like those hard assets, actual physical items that are not given over to the US dollar. They're not driven by, U.S. dollar devaluation. I would just consider that. And when you look at these hot markets versus bubble markets versus rental markets, always really be aware of what you're seeing when you watch like a CNN piece or a CNBC piece when they're like telling you that real estate prices have dropped considerably. A lot of times what they're talking about is in these overpriced retail markets, Boise, Salt Lake City, those types of places. So please pay attention. Please pay attention to that. Okay, folks, thank you guys so much for subscribing and being a part of the podcast. I really, really appreciate it. Thank you for tuning in and learning about your financial freedom. If you'd like to download our financial freedom cheat sheet, it's totally free. Just go to morrisinvest.com/freedom. It's a 3-page PDF that you can download, and I would encourage all of you to do it. It could change your life. Thanks, guys. We'll see you next time.
The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days. That means no payments until fall. No payments until fall. With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn. But hurry, these offers won't last forever. Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.
Hi, I'm Richard Karn, and you may have seen me on TV talking about the world's number one expandable garden hose. Well, the brand new Pocket Hose Copperhead with Pocket Pivot is here, and it's a total game changer. Old-fashioned hoses get kinks and creases at the spigot, but the Copperhead's Pocket Pivot swivels 360 degrees for full water flow and freedom to water with ease all around your home. When you're all done, this rust-proof anti-burst hose shrinks back down to pocket size for effortless handling and tidy storage. Plus, your super light and ultra-durable pocket hose Copperhead is backed with a 10-year warranty. What could be better than that? I'll tell you what, an exciting radio exclusive offer just for you. For a limited time, you can get a free pocket pivot and their 10-pattern sprayer with the purchase of any size Copperhead hose. Just text WATER to 64000. That's WATER to 64000 for your two free gifts with purchase. W-A-T-E-R to 64000.
By texting 64000, you agree to receive recurring automated marketing messages from Pocket Hose. Message and data rates may apply. No purchase required. Terms apply. Available at pockethose.com/terms.
My fact this week is that Andy Warhol would regularly have his wig cut by a barber and then return the following month wearing a new, longer wig.
Hello, we are No Such Thing as a Fish. We are a British podcast all about facts and trivia and everything interesting in the whole wide world.
We cover everything from pufferfish rectums to the moon to mangrove forest. What else do we do, James?
Oh, well, what about the fact that in 1936, a robot in California shot its inventor in the head?
There you go. If you're intrigued to hear more, peppered with some bad puns and some crude jokes, then check us out. We are No Such Thing as a Fish.